This is Knowing Christ Radio with Dr. Rich Burkle, and we're so glad you've joined us today. We encourage you to join us each weekend as Rich helps us drill deeper with his expository teaching of Scripture. We pray that you'll be encouraged and challenged by today's message.
We actually will enter right into utter disaster if we seek to go our own way. If we are like sheep, each one of us turning to our own way, if we continue down that path, it is a sure path to disaster and death.
Listen as Rich introduces the second part of a message titled, The Good Hand of Our God.
Welcome to Knowing Christ. Today we open up our Bibles to Ezra 7. What a great encouragement we have from this chapter of God's Word that reminds us of God's heart toward us, of His mercy, of His grace, of His loving kindness. He really is a God who's happy, and He's happy to give us grace, to give us a blessing when we don't deserve it, we've not merited it, in fact, just the opposite. And yet God's happy heart looks upon us with a smile. And He opens up His hands to us, and He invites us to come to Him. If we're weary, heavy laden, if we just come to Him in faith, come to Him in dependence. And this chapter, again, reminds us of the goodness of the heart of God. I believe we all need to be reminded of the goodness of the Lord, and this chapter is such a help to us. So let's open up our Bibles together to Ezra 7. Let's think about the goodness of the Lord and lift up our hearts in great praise to God, who loves us and who offers us His very self.
He loves to make promises. He loves us to ask Him to fulfill and be faithful to those promises. And He says, every promise, every time, I will be faithful. Every promise, every time is not a maxim that God chafes under. It's not as though, well, I guess I promised, I guess I have to. Every promise, every time is a maxim that God delights in. That's His nature. You know, we sometimes bless another person out of a sense of obligation rather than joy. We sometimes make promises to bless someone, then we realize it's going to cost us more than we originally thought. God always blesses out of a delighted heart. He's never reluctant to give us His favor. He is the ultimate cheerful giver. And we see God's happy heart as we open up Ezra 7 with this little phrase, the hand of the Lord his God was on him. Look at Ezra 7, verse 6. Now again, it's after this, God brings his favor to the nation of Israel, who is spiritually dull, and they need a guy like Ezra. They need someone qualified. They need someone with the bloodline that runs straight to Aaron, who is the chief priest, in order to have someone who would represent them and revitalize the worship in Jerusalem. And they need someone like Ezra, who's a scribe, skilled in the law of Moses, able to teach, able to live it out with integrity first, and then to teach it throughout all of Israel. And it says the king granted him all that he asked, for the hand of the Lord his God was on him. This phrase, the hand of the Lord, appears a number of times in Ezra. You look down at verse 9, for the good hand of his God was on him. Verse 28 of Ezra 7, for the hand of the Lord my God was on me. Skip over to chapter 8, verse 18, and by the good hand of our God on us. So what do we make of this idea that God delights to bless us, that that's his disposition? Well, I want to share three applications. First, let's be encouraged. God loves to bless his people, and nothing can keep God from blessing a people that he wants to bless. Nothing, not anything happened in this world. So let's be encouraged, regardless of some of the trials we may be going through, some of the hardships, some of the concerns we have about culture, about politics, whatever. Let's be encouraged. We ought to be the most, we have a God who wants to bless us, and he will bless us if we just simply humble ourselves. Be encouraged. Never, let's not get discouraged, brothers and sisters. Second, let's be prayerful, because God loves to bless his people, and he hears us, not because we've somehow earned a right to be heard. You've heard that. You haven't earned the right to be heard, and among people, I guess in some ways there's some legitimacy to that, but no one ever earns the right to be heard before the Lord. And yet God says, if you really are humble, and you seek my face, and you're broken, you're contrite, and come to me, I will hear from heaven. What an amazing God we have. Let's be prayerful. We often have not the blessing of God because we ask not. And I think it's right to be very specific even, seeking God's blessing. Third, let's be thankful. You know, over and over again, God is acknowledged in Ezra as being the one who blesses people. Yeah, there are human elements like Cyrus giving an edict and Darius opening up treasuries and bringing protection, etc. But over and over, God is the one who's thanked. And sometimes we experience the blessing of God through the horizontal and we fail to recognize, no, this is upward. This is from God. Let's acknowledge him. So God has a delightful heart of blessing. Secondly, I think on this issue of obtaining the favor of God, we need to consider our desperate need, the desperate need of God's people. The story of Ezra is one of desperation from the beginning all the way to the end. The book opens up with the Jews being away from their land, away from the temple, away from sacrifices, away from any future as a nation. That they know that their fathers had angered God through their idolatry. They admit that in Ezra 5, verse 12. And then, you know, they're desperate when they do finally get back to Jerusalem and they begin to rebuild the foundation of the temple. They're confronted by a really strong opposition that causes them to be super fearful and they stop working on the temple. They're desperate in their need. They begin living for themselves and not for God for those 15 years. They're now on a mission to have their best life now. And they're no longer on the mission that God gave them. And thus they were outside of any purpose, any eternal meaning. And then in their desperation, after Zechariah and Haggai preach, they begin work afresh, only to be opposed by a governor named Tattenai. And then after finishing the temple, now, nearly 6 years, they begin to grow spiritually dull, and they need an Ezra to bring about spiritual revival. You see, over and over and over, there's this theme of this people's desperation. They never become self-sufficient. They're not meant to. It's self-reliance that leads to spiritual death. Instead, we need to be God-reliant. And a God-reliance comes through this recognition that we will absolutely make a mess of our lives if we are guiding our own lives. That we actually will enter right into utter disaster if we seek to go our own way. If we are like sheep, each one of us turning to our own way, if we continue down that path, it is a sure path to disaster and death. Look at verse 7 and 9 for a moment. So this people, so it's now the second group of people. Earlier, there were 50,000 Jews that came out of Babylonia down to Jerusalem. Now with Ezra, there's about 1,500. It's a second group of return. But I want you to think about these 1,500 for a moment. And think about Ezra here. So the text tells us in verse 7, there went up also to Jerusalem in the seventh year of Artaxerxes the king some people of Israel, some priests and Levites, singers, gatekeepers, temple servants. And Ezra was with them. And he came to Jerusalem in the fifth month. On the first day of the first month, he began his journey up from Babylonia. And on the first day of the fifth month, he comes to Jerusalem. And it says, for the good hand of his God was on him. Why does it say that? Well, think about this journey for a moment. Imagine for a moment you're moving your family. And some of you have experienced moves, and you know how tough moves are. And you're moving your family 900 miles away. So it's not a close move. It's not over the next neighborhood over. It's 900 miles. Oh, yeah, by the way, you have no way to communicate with the place where you're going. You can't look up on the internet. What is Jerusalem like now? What's the real estate? You know, what are some jobs? You have no real information, no great information, other than just some stories, reports of people who've been there. And you have to travel 900 miles through really tough terrain. There are marauders about. There's a desert to cross. And oh yeah, there's no McDonald's. There's no rest stops. Oh yeah, there's no air conditioning in your car. Oh yeah, there's no cars. You're with some animals and you're on foot. And oh yeah, you're taking your children. Oh yeah, 1,500 people are coming with you and you're responsible for them. Do you think there'd be any stress over this? And when you get there, you know, it's not like you did a hotel.com. This is where we're going to stay, guys. You don't know what kind of stress might be upon you. And that's why I said when he arrived, the good hand of the Lord is on him. He got there. It was a journey that was dangerous. It was a journey that was filled with potential disaster. But the Lord says, I'm with you. And the Lord provides, and they get there. And when they get there, he continues to provide. When I look at the Jews from over 2,500 years ago, I ask the question, am I any less desperate than those folks? And the answer, of course, is no. Every person's life story is a story of desperation. It's a story of desperate need. I don't know your desperate need. I just know you have it. For some, there's physical elements this day. For some, there's emotional elements. For others, there's relational elements and financial elements. For all of us, at all times, there's a spiritual element that's the most central, most profound, desperate need that we have. And you know, we don't stand a chance to live out an abundant life apart from God's blessing. That's what we need. If I had three wishes, what would I wish for? God's blessing, God's blessing, God's blessing. That's what I need more than anything else. If I have that, there's nothing else that can go wrong in this world that could assail and keep me from having an abundant life. If I don't have that, there's nothing that I might obtain, no promotion, no bit of wealth, no bit of health, no bit of accomplishment that could keep my life from being just sucked dry of any bit of real joy, lasting meaning, real peace. We ask y'all, I don't know if you know this, but we ask y'all to every week, you know, with opportunity to turn in prayer requests and answers. And these cards tell us, you know, a little bit about desperation that people have. And we want to hear, you know, all of us are desperate. And that's why, man, everybody turn in a prayer card. We'd love to pray for you and enter into your desperation by asking the Lord. 2 weeks ago, a 9-year-old girl in our church filled out one of these out. This is what she wrote. God, thank you for keeping us safe from the flight from Arizona. So there's a physical thank you. And then she says this, please, I want your hand on me on my walk with Christ. Yeah, praise God. It brings me to tears to think of a little girl's heart like that. 9 years old, and she's desperate. And she, unbeknownst to her, she actually used language that is right here in the text 2 weeks later in Ezra 7. She writes, please, I want your hand on me on my walk with Christ. And I think, how is revival to come to us? It will come to us when we have that expression of this little girl every day. God, I'm desperate. If I trust my self-sufficiency to walk with Christ today, you know, I know the Bible, I know some prayers, you know, I know some practices and how to live. I think I'm obeying the law, okay. The moment we become self-sufficient, self-reliant, is the moment we lose spiritual life revival. And every day to come before the Lord, God, I want your hand upon me. If you don't bless my soul, I don't have access in myself to gain spiritual blessing. None. So what's the application? Let's seek God's blessing. Let's do it humbly. Let's do it with a contrite heart. Let's do it with repentance from our sin. You know, we don't dishonor God by seeking his blessing upon our lives. We dishonor him when we act as though we can make it through life without his blessing. Sometimes we think, is it selfish to ask for God's blessing? No, it's actually the most God-centered thing to do, to believe that God is a God who blesses and that he wants to bless and that we need his blessing and to ask him. That's the most God-centered thing we can do. That's how all of us came to salvation, by the way. If you have Jesus Christ as your Savior, that's how you came. By realizing I need something that I can't provide for myself. God has it and he wants to give it to me and I'm opening up my life. I'm believing. Amen? So then the diverse expressions of God's blessing, and I'm going to stop with this and just touch briefly on the last piece, and we're going to spend the rest of the time next week talking about the doorway, but I want to touch on that because that's obviously a matter we have to ask, how can I get God's blessing? And we've talked about it a little bit, but the diverse expressions of God's blessing. If you read through verses 11 through 26, you would see, I looked and considered at least six different kinds of blessing that God gave in just this one little passage. You know, God, he's infinitely creative. Think of the world and how much, well, the creativity that is on display every day in little bugs and birds and animals and plants and the sky and the planets. And God's creativity, abundance of creativity is on display all throughout his natural creation. God uses his infinite creativity to provide blessing upon blessing to his people, to supply favor in multitude, too many ways to mention. But here in this passage, you know, list of blessings, what are they? Well, God blesses by turning a pagan king to be kind to the Jews, turning its heart. God blesses by opening the invitation to worship to anyone who wills, anyone who wants, anyone who desires. God blesses by making financial provision for the Jews to accomplish God's will. God blesses by making legal protection for the freedom to worship. That's God doing that. God blesses by giving freedom to the Jews of self-governance. God blesses by bringing honor to his word among pagan rulers. You know, again, pagan rulers recognize the importance of God's word. What was Ezra's response to all these blessings? Well, it's a response of praise. Look at verse 27 and 28. Blessed be the Lord, the God of our fathers, who put such a thing as this into the heart of the king. He knows God is the one who does it. He says, blessed be the God. Let's praise God. God's the one who put it in the heart of the king so that the house of the Lord would be beautified in Jerusalem. And he extended to me his steadfast love before the king and his counselors, before all the kings and the mighty officers. He says, I took courage. Why? Because I knew the hand of God's favor was on me. That's why I took courage. That's why I could stand up, because I knew that regardless of what happened, it's the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego kind of courage. I don't know how God's going to bless me. He might bless me by preserving me through the fire. He might bless me by taking my life, but God's going to bless me. And it gave him courage to act in faith rather than act in fear in a fallen world. What can I expect for God to do if his hand is upon me? The blessings are so many, but I know all of them find their focal point, all of them find their center in the person of Jesus Christ. Here's what 2 Corinthians 1 says. For all the promises of God find their yes in him. That is why it is through him that we utter amen to God for his glory. So Jesus becomes the center. God blesses us financially. He blesses us physically in our physical bodies. He blesses us communally. He establishes a church and a love within the family. He blesses us legally so that we would have legal protections. He blesses us emotionally so we have inner strength to overcome discouragement. And at the heart of all of it is this spiritual. He draws us near to himself so that we as sinners can worship him. What do I need more than anything else? I need the blessing of God. Worshiping people desire God's good hand of blessing to be on their lives and on their spiritual family. We know that God is honored when we seek his favor on our lives. That's what worshiping people do. He just says, the one thing I want is just God's good hand of favor. If I have that, regardless of what else is happening in my life in this broken world, if I know I have that, I have courage, I have confidence to move forward. So the applications. Let's bless the Lord. Let's not forget any of his benefits. Let's take time and name them. Spend time with your family this afternoon. Spend time in your own prayer journal. Spend time with your Christian friends. Name the blessings. Start name off so that God would receive the glory for everyone that we could possibly consider. And secondly, and this has been really helpful to me this week, relax. Relax. Don't fret about the downward spiral of our culture. Truly. Why would we, if we have the favor of God, why would we fret about the downward spiral of our culture? Is our blessing dependent upon what Congress, a president, an electorate, judges, anyone else does? That's not to mean it's meaningless. It's just say we ought not to fret. This week I was fretting. I was doing some little consideration. I was thinking of my little grandkids. I thought, man, they're going to grow up in a world. It's likely they're going to grow up in a world where they're not blessed like I was blessed with freedoms and with a lot of just spiritual blessings around them that our culture had. Not that our culture was Christian or perfect, but I'm just concerned. And I don't know what the future holds, and that might be true, but here's the thought that came in from Ezra 7. God's blessing upon my grandchildren is not dependent upon secular government. God's blessing upon my children is dependent upon God's grace, and his grace never changes. He is a generous God. And here's the truth, and it's the truth in times of prosperity and freedom or in times of great difficulty as a nation. Here's the truth that God's people know. If I have God's favor, nothing outside of me can rob me of life. Nothing. On the other hand, if I don't have God's favor and I have all the freedoms and all the prosperity and all the peace, of a world that's sort of set right, then it's total disaster for us and for our kids and our grandkids. So let's focus on the thing that's right to focus on. Let's teach our kids the gospel, which is the last thing, and I'm going to close rather quickly. The doorway to God's blessing. The doorway to God's blessing. The good hand of his God was on him. And we're going to talk more about this next week, but we ask, well, what puts a person in a position of being blessed by God, of having God's good hand upon them? What causes us to receive God's good hand of blessing? And here's the answer over and over and over again in the scripture. It's faith. Believe in God. Be humble before him. Turn from sin. Don't believe that sin has an answer to our life's problems. Instead, turn to God and say, God, life is bound up in you. And if I believe in you and am contrite and humble before you, God promises to grant us life. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. God loves you so much that he sent his son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but would have eternal life. Last week, I was able to sit in the back, listen to Pastor Josh share so wonderfully a message that encouraged my soul. And I was thinking about, because I was sitting all the way in the back. Some of you guys were back there in my seat, where I was last week. And I looked over at the backs of your heads as we were worshiping God together. And there was one, a joy in my heart, and there was a prayer in my heart. I said, God, allow each person who is here today to leave with your favor on their life. Allow each person to experience what it is for your good hand to be upon them. And then I reflected, though, on the reality of the church, of a gathered community, that some of us leave every Sunday with God's good favor because our hearts received the gospel, received God's word, received prayers of the saints, received the praises that was by faith. Our faith was engaged. However, there's some of us who leave on a Sunday without God's good hand on us. And it made me both happy and sad as I thought about that. And I pray, God, open our hearts, revive us, so that more and more of us would walk out on a Sunday with hearts filled with faith, receiving your good favor. That's what we need.
Rich will be right back to wrap up today's message. We're glad you joined us and encourage you to invite friends to listen. You can stay connected during the week through our website, knowingchrist.org. Now, here's Rich with some closing thoughts.
Well, thank you for joining us at Knowing Christ. As a listener, we pray for you. We desire for this ministry to help you know Jesus Christ more and more, and in knowing him, experience the life that he offers. And we want to ask you at this time, have you ever trusted in Jesus as your own personal Savior? You know, the good hand of the Lord is so necessary for any bit of blessing now, but also forever and ever. And we need his good hand to be upon us, and he's shown us a path of how we can have his good hand placed over our lives, and that is by opening up our heart to him, turning away from our sin and our own willfulness, and turning to Jesus Christ. And so I would encourage you at this very moment, at the end of this program, just to lift up your heart to the Lord and say, Lord Jesus, I need you. I want to turn from my sin. I'm going to receive you as my Savior and King. If you've made that decision, please let us know. We'd love to send you some helps to grow in your walk with Christ.
Were you blessed by today's message? Why not download a free copy and give it to a friend? Invite them to join us each week on this station. You can download a copy at knowingchrist.org. That's knowingchrist.org. And while you're there, select the Contact tab and send us a note on how God is using this program or share a prayer request with us. It's such an encouragement when we hear from our listeners. Thanks for listening today. Knowing Christ is the broadcast ministry of Dr. Rich Burkle and Bethany Baptist Church. For the